Well, good morning. That was kind of, I don't even know what I want to say about that. Good morning. A little bit better. Glad you're here today at Southgate for our Easter services today. And I'm just going to let you know up front, we're going to talk about Jesus, if that's okay. Amen? And so we're going to talk about him because I believe that to some degree or another, there's a lot of confusion in our world today and our culture about who Jesus was, just really regarding who Jesus was. So when I say, hey, we're going to talk about Jesus this morning, I would imagine that for many of us, we want to ask the question, like, what Jesus are we actually talking about? Because in reality, that there were, even in the Bible times, even Jesus' disciples and his closest friends struggled to know what to think about Jesus. And in those moments where there were those who struggled to understand who Jesus was and understand what Jesus was all about, Jesus met them in their moments of skepticism. Jesus met them in their moments of doubt, and he revealed himself to them. And we live in a culture today, and we live in a world today where there are a lot of different perspectives of, and there's a lot of different perspectives on who Jesus was and who he is. And so when we say we're going to talk about Jesus today, we want to be very clear to understand that we're going to talk about the Jesus of the Bible. Amen? And we're going to talk about the Jesus in regard to who he actually said that he was, because, again, there's a lot of theories on who he was. I mean, for instance, Muslims believe, and they teach in the Quran, they believe about Jesus. They have a theory about Jesus. In fact, they believe Jesus was Isa, and that he was born of Mary, and he was a good teacher, and he was a prophet. Ethnic Jews believe in a historical Jesus. They believe that he was a real person, that he too was a teacher and a prophet. You have Hindus. They believe in Jesus. In fact, they teach that he was one of many Ishtas, which is a form of the divine or a form of deity. He was one of many gods, one of many deities. And so some believe that he was a Vishnu, a reincarnation of maybe a fish or maybe of a dwarf, you know, something out of the Lord of the Rings. I don't know, but that's part of what they believe in their system. They're atheists. They even acknowledge the reality that Jesus lived and walked on the earth, and they acknowledge that he was a good teacher, and honestly, they believe that he had a life that we should emulate. And then you have unbelievers, those who have no real need for Jesus, maybe not even a need for church, religion, or anything of that nature, but they believe that Jesus was a person, and they think he's kind of like George Washington, and he has no real effect on their life, no real bearing on how they live, or any effect on their future. And then you have nominal Christians. They believe in Jesus. They believe that he's an add-on, not the Lord, and he demands nothing, and he exists as an errand boy to make their life better. But in our text, in John chapter 11, and if you would, turn in your Bibles there this morning, and I'll read that here in just a moment. In John chapter 11, in verse number 17, Jesus gives a very firm and a very clear declaration of who he is. And in John chapter 11, verse 17, the Bible says, and when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, just to give you a little bit of a backdrop of the narrative and of the story that's going on here, Jesus had some friends, Mary and Martha, and their brother named Lazarus. Word got back to Jesus that Lazarus wasn't doing well. The Bible says that he was in Bethany. That was only 2 miles away. He could have quickly walked to Bethany. You know, if he's walking maybe a 15, 20-minute mile, he could have been there in less than an hour. And he could have helped Lazarus, even though he was sick and ill, because Jesus did things like that. He healed the sick. He brought the dead back to life. He casted out demons, and he returned the sight back to the blind. But in our text, Jesus didn't do that for them at that moment. But in 17, he says, when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been dead in the tomb for 4 days. And Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary. They were coming to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and she met him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you'd just been here, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give it to you. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha said, I know that he'll rise again in the resurrection on the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And she said to him, yes, Lord, I believe. You are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. So in our text, we see Jesus presenting himself as God, and this is one of the seven I am statements. that Jesus used to declare himself as God. And we see these seven I am statements in the Gospel of John where Jesus is declaring his deity and declaring ultimately who he is and who he was. And it's significant that Jesus said, I am the resurrection and I am the life. Because if Jesus wasn't the resurrection and the life, everything that we've done so far today has been nothing more than a colossal waste of time, and we should go out, eat our Cadbury eggs, go to brunch, and have a day of it. But the reality is Jesus is who he said that he is, and he was who he said that he was. And we are here today to celebrate the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and his name is Jesus. He's our Redeemer. Amen? And so here's my point, and here's the big idea, and here's what I want you to think about and consider this morning throughout the message, and that is this. When Jesus declares who he is, we got to decide if we're going to follow him. When Jesus declares who he is, we must decide if we will follow him. And it's so vital to our faith, because how you view Jesus affects your ability to live life to the fullest. And I mean really live. And I wonder, for most of us in this room today, do we really know what it means to live? I mean live life to the full. To live the life that you've been created to live, the life that God designed for you to live, the life that God intended for you to have. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later on. But it affects how you navigate life. Whether or not you believe Jesus was and is the resurrection and the life, it affects how you view your life. But more importantly, it affects what comes after life, and that's eternity. And so this morning, we want to look at these three declarations, because Jesus makes three declarations in the text that could change your life, and they're declarations that give hope, and they could possibly make sense of some things that are going on in your heart and life right now. And it begins this morning with the first one, and we see this in verse 25. We see the declaration of deity. We see the declaration of deity. Jesus begins with clearing the air about who he is. Who was Jesus? What was Jesus about? Because ultimately, if we can't get this right, if we don't understand who Jesus is, and if we don't have the right perspective or the right point of view or a clear biblical understanding of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, we're in trouble. Jesus was declaring that he was God and that he is life. And not just life, but Jesus was eternal life. He has the power as God's Son to give life. Martha says in our text today, if you go back to verse 25, she said, man, Jesus, if you'd been here, my brother and your friend would not have had to have died. In fact, Jesus declares to Martha, and he says in this statement, he goes, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Now, when Jesus said, I am, that might not mean anything to you, but in the Old Testament, when Moses was leading the people, God's people, out of bondage from the nation of Egypt, he said, who will I say sent me? And he said, say, I am, which is another name for Jehovah God. It's the God of gods. It's the only God. It's the God we worship. And so Jesus says, I am who that I say that I am, and I am the resurrection, and I am the life. But this didn't land with Martha right away. Because ultimately, Martha was more concerned at the moment that her brother had died, and reasonably so. This was so unexpected, and she was in grief. But I want you to jot this down, because I don't know if it's in your notes today. I think it actually is. But Martha was focused on the suffering around her and not the Savior in front of her. And so often when our life comes apart, when there's suffering in life, when there's tragedy, when there's brokenness that we experience because we live in a broken, sin-cursed world, we tend to look at the suffering around us rather than the Savior in front of us. Now, Jesus made this declaration to her personally, so that his deity would be made known to her personally. And that's what Jesus does. He takes our suffering and he uses it to show us himself, because it's an intimate thing. It's not a religion thing. It's a relationship thing. And this morning, it doesn't matter if you're Baptist or Catholic or Lutheran or non-denom or Pentecostal or Charismatic, Church of Christ, snake handling, feet washer. It doesn't matter what you identify in terms of your religious status. The only thing that matters on the other side of eternity is, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God? That's the only thing that matters. And so that might be your story today. You might find yourself here this morning and life is just coming apart at the seams and everything is just going haywire. I want you to know that it's not by accident or divine chance or circumstance, because God wants to use your suffering to point you to the Savior. So instead of focusing on the suffering around you, Jesus wants you to see the Savior in front of you. Like Martha, don't miss the personal invitation, because God is inviting you to experience something, something supernatural and life-transforming. But if your view of Jesus is messed up, if you don't have the right perspective of who Jesus was and is, and if you don't have a clear understanding based on what the Word of God teaches us, you're going to miss out on something that could radically change your life now and forever. And so many people, for many people, Jesus is something different than what he declared to be. And so we have all these different perspectives of Jesus. And we talked about what different religions kind of view Jesus as and how they interpret Jesus and how they define Jesus. And it's very possible that Martha saw Jesus simply as a miracle worker and not as the Messiah. And we have the tendency to have the wrong perspectives of Jesus. There are many different perspectives on who Jesus was and what he did. And here's what we must not do. We should not try to change Jesus to fit our wrong perspective. We have to change our perspective to accurately see Jesus as who he is and what he's already done. In fact, in many cases in the Bible, you see Jesus confronting his followers with some of the reality, his followers with the reality of who he was. We see this with Nicodemus. We see this in this text with Martha. We see it with Peter, just to name a few. But at some point, every single one of us, and it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter how old you are, it doesn't matter what your educational training background, your financial situation, every one of us in this room today has to come to a place where we decide if we're going to follow Jesus. Do we believe in the Jesus of the Bible? Do we believe in the Jesus that's being presented to us today? And that's why Jesus clears up the perspectives with the proclamation of deity. Jesus Christ himself claimed that he was God, and the Bible claims that he was God. He demonstrated that he was God. He proved over and over again the truth that he was God's son, that he was and is the Savior of the world. In fact, in John 1:1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So when we say we want you to follow the life and the words of Jesus, what we're saying is we want you to follow what's in this book, because Jesus was and is the Son of the living God. And when the world was created, Jesus Christ himself stood in the second person of the Trinity. And when he said, "Let there be light," and when he said, "Let there be darkness," Jesus Christ, the Son of God, stood there in the second person of the Trinity and spoke the world that we live in today into existence by the word of his power. That is the Jesus that we worship today. That is the Jesus that we have come to celebrate this morning. Because the reality is, if Jesus wasn't God, he couldn't deliver on what he promised or on the many things that he said. If Jesus wasn't God's son, he couldn't die on a cross as our sinless Savior. But Jesus was Emmanuel, the promised Savior. He's the one that we worship today. So how about you? What's your perspective on Jesus? What is your view? How do you connect with Jesus in a way that is biblical and right and sound and foundational? How are you going to come to terms with the declaration that he is God? And if you are struggling, where are you and where can you clear that up? I want you to see the second declaration, though, in verses 25 and verse 26. The Bible says that whosoever, Jesus says to Martha, "Whosoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live again. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." So we see the declaration of deity. But secondly, this morning, we see the declaration of deliverance. Because Jesus was God, he is a God, or is the God, excuse me, rather, he is the God that can actually deliver on his promises, and the main promise that he delivers on is the forgiveness of sins. And so our deliverance from sin, our entrance into this next life, into eternity, hinges on the truth that Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. Jesus not only raised Lazarus from the dead, but do you realize this? Jesus Christ personally and powerfully and of his own volition came back from the dead. Here's the reality. Jesus brought Lazarus back from life. But you know what happened? Lazarus eventually died again. And he's in eternity. The reality is Jesus came back from the dead and he never died again. Amen? And I know that's not proper grammar, so all my English teachers in the room today, please do not come up to me and send me an email after church today. Amen? Jesus, he died, and he came back from the grave, and he never died again. And so this morning, whatever your perspective is on Jesus, the Bible teaches us that he was much more than a teacher, a good man. He was God in the flesh, and he has risen in power to deliver us from sin, shame, guilt, and brokenness. Jesus Christ delivers us. He has the power to do so. And he delivers us from sin and death and emptiness, and there's no doubt you can live and enjoy life. Any fool knows that. I mean, there's so much in life that we can experience and enjoy. But I'll tell you this, it's certainly impossible to live life fully without Jesus. If you're not following Jesus, how's that working for you this morning? So many of us follow after empty pursuits, and so many of us think that the things of this world and the things that we achieve and the things that we procure, if you will, are going to bring us the satisfaction that's only reserved for those who know and love and follow Jesus Christ. And the reality is that every single one of us in this room today, listen, we all deal with suffering. We all deal with brokenness. We all deal with sin. We all deal with hurt. And we all deal with pain and health and all the things that this life throws at us. But for those of us in this room today that know and follow Jesus, we have a living Savior that holds our hand and guides us through the most dark, disturbing moments that this life has to offer. And even in those moments, you and I, as followers of Jesus Christ, and those who know Christ as their Savior, live in a way that experiences the fullness that you cannot experience and that you cannot have if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's why Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, I have come that they might have life and have it abundantly. Jesus, as God, was the sinless Savior come to die for our sins, and He came and He gave His life as a ransom for those who would believe in Him for forgiveness. And that's why He would say later on in verse 45 of Mark chapter 10, even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many. Friends, I want you to know this morning, you can't earn your way into eternity, but there's no need to, because Jesus lovingly gave His life for ours. And since Jesus is God, you have no ability to stand in your own righteousness. But guess what? You don't have to, because your sin has been paid for by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? So we stand in the righteousness of Christ that's been paid for on the cross. And this morning, the cross proves there's no length that God isn't willing to go to show His love to us. In fact, the resurrection demonstrates the power of Jesus that He has to deliver us from death and transforms our lives forever. And this must be a choice. It's met with a choice. Every single one of us in this room this morning, Jesus is inviting us to trust Him. And so I want to ask everyone that's here today, have you come to the place in your life where you've completely and fully trusted Jesus Christ as your own Lord and personal Savior? I'm not asking if you've been baptized. I'm not asking you if you're a member of a church. I'm not asking you that if your great-grandfather on your auntie-uncle's side that had a brother that was a pastor. I'm not asking about any of that nonsense today. I'm talking about you alone with God on the judgment day when you stand before Him, and every single one of us in this room today, whether you believe it or not, every single one of us will stand before a holy God, and we will give an account for the life that we lived. And the only thing that will matter on the judgment day is, did we believe in Jesus Christ, the resurrection and the life? That, my friends, is the only thing that will matter the moment that you take your last breath and wake up in eternity. And so we see in this text that this moves from a declaration of Jesus that He was deity, that He could deliver, to the declaration of Martha. And that's the declaration of decision. In verses 26 and 27, Jesus questions Martha. And she says, look, Martha, everyone who lives and believes in Me shall never die. Look at what He says next. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Not did the person next to you, not did your mom and dad. Look, do you believe this? Now, friends, I want you to know something this morning. It's very clear that Martha understood the Scriptures. Because in the text, she said, Jesus, I know that my brother will live again in the resurrection on that day. She knew, she believed that one day Jesus would call home the saints. She knew that. And listen to what the Bible says here in this passage. He says, no, man, everyone lives and believes in Me shall never die. Do you believe this? Martha believed in the biblical teaching of the resurrection. But Jesus took it out of a book. Listen to this. I love this. Jesus took it out of a book and He put it in a person, and that was Himself. This wasn't some ethereal, theological, theoretical thing like, hey, if you believe in Me, you'll live again. Jesus said, no, I am living proof, and I will be living proof one day when I die on the cross, and 3 days later when I come back from the dead with the keys to death, hell, and the grave. Listen, I am living proof that you will live again. So He took this doctrine, and he was standing in front of her with the power of the resurrection. We realize that we're saved by a Redeemer, Jesus Christ. We're not saved by a doctrine in a book. We're saved, listen to me this morning, it's a great place for an amen. We're saved by a person, and His name is Jesus Christ. Amen? It's real. It's so real. And she's standing in front of unspeakable power and deliverance. And like Martha, each one of us have to come to terms with the declarations of Jesus. And Martha says in the text, in her declaration, she's like, I believe. And the reality is, in the original languages, this word is in the perfect tense, indicating a fixed and a settled faith. She wasn't banking on anything else. Her faith, her future, her life, all of it was fixed on who Jesus was. So I want to ask you this morning, and I'm going to tell you, man, nothing else matters in this moment. Nothing really matters in life other than, do you know Jesus? And I want to ask every single one of you this morning, and I don't care if you attend church here or not, but is your faith fixed and settled on Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, who is the resurrection and the life, and have you put your complete faith and trust in Him and in Him alone? Because 3 seconds after you die, it will not matter where you went to college. It will not matter what your GPA is. It will not matter how much money that you had in your 401k. It will not matter if you had a lake house or a boat. It will not matter on any of those issues. The only thing that will matter is, did you believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of the living God? That is the only thing that will matter. And so Martha, in this moment of suffering, of profound loss, Martha allowed the words of Jesus to guide her faith and ground her faith. And that's what Jesus does. In moments where we doubt, and you might be here this morning, you're like, man, this Christian stuff, this Jesus stuff, it's just a crutch for the weak. Okay, if that's what you want to think, cool, man. But at the end of the day, is it? Because there's a lot of people in this room that have a lot of education. There's a lot of people in this room that don't have any education. The reality is, it's not a crutch for the weak. It's not something that we put our faith in some blind, dark abyss. No, man, we're putting our faith in the Son of the living God. We're putting our faith in the One who came back from the dead and delivered us from death, hell, and the grave. And He did it for Himself, and He'll do it for us. And this morning, if you are doubting, if you are skeptic, and if you do have this moment where you're discouraged, listen, the word of Christ will guide you when you're discouraged, and it will ground you when you are doubting, because Jesus is the living rock that we can put our trust in this morning. We can trust Him. Jesus' answer to her grief was the gospel. When this life is all there is, we hold on to it with everything that we have, and some of you are just holding on to this life. In that moment, the only thing that mattered to her was, she ever see her brother again? She lost her brother. And that's fair. It's reasonable. It's a fair loss. But some of us are holding on. What school am I going to go to? What job am I going to go to? Who am I going to marry? Where am I going to live? How much am I going to make? Am I going to be able to retire when I want? All these things. We hold on to this and we pursue these things. And the sadness of it is that often we don't want God. We want His stuff. We want what He can do rather than who He is, and it's likely that Martha was struggling with this very issue. And so we pursue a life that seeks fulfillment and satisfaction without taking into consideration the truth that Jesus is the life and the resurrection. And here's what I mean by that. And you might want to write this down, because I know this is in the notes. Jesus is what life is all about. If He is not the epicenter of your life, you are not going to live a life that is fulfilling, one that is satisfying, and one that has meaning, significance, purpose, and one that will matter on the other side of eternity. He's what life is all about. He's the satisfaction that's eluding so many of you today, and He alone satisfies and renews and restores what we've broken. And that's what this story is all about. We live in a broken, sin-cursed world. And there's no meaning and there's no hope apart from an eternal Jesus that transforms our life and purpose. Yet we continue to solely pursue the world to an unsatisfying end. And some of you that are sitting in here today, man, you don't have the hope that's found in Jesus Christ. And some of you do have the hope, but you still continue to pursue this world and what it offers, hoping that you'll be satisfied, hoping that you'll be fulfilled, hoping that you have purpose. And it's like drinking sand on a hot day, hoping that it'll quench your thirst. And Jesus says, no, man, I'm the resurrection. I'm the life. Your pursuits will leave you wanting. They'll leave you broken and thirsty, whether you believe it or not. Jesus adds meaning, fullness, and significance. And one day we all have to answer this question. Do you believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? That's the only thing that matters in the days ahead. That's going to be the only question that you need to answer that really, really matters the moment that you step into eternity. And I want to implore you today, church, if your faith isn't fixed and settled on Christ, the Son of the living God who came 2,000 years ago, died on a cross, sinless, perfect Lamb of God, and paid for your sins and mine, if you've yet to put your complete faith and trust in Him, I want to invite you to do that today. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, how many of you would say to me this morning, Pastor Jason, I know Christ personally as my Savior. I know with a certainty that I am right with God, I'm forgiven of my sins, and I know that heaven is my home. Could you lift your hands and give testimony of that today? Amen. Hands all over the room. Now, how many would you be in here today? And I know we've got several guests, and I'm not here to embarrass you. No one's looking around. All heads are bowed, eyes are closed. How many of you would say to me this morning, Pastor, I don't know that I'm right with God. I don't know that I'm forgiven of my sins. I don't know if I were to slip out into eternity today. Would you pray for me? Would you lift your hands and let me see those today? Amen. I see one, two, three, four different folks, adults that have raised their hand today. Amen. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, would you just quickly, all of us, just stand to your feet and let me pray over our church today. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we have to worship you and to trust you and to walk with you, even in the hardest, darkest days of our life. And I'm so thankful for the courage of the three or four individuals that raised their hands today that they weren't certain that they knew Christ personally as their Savior. And I pray, Lord, that they might have a boldness to come and just grab me by the hand and say, Pastor, I don't know what it means to follow Christ. And I pray, Lord, that maybe in these moments that we have together that we could see them put their complete faith and trust in you. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I realize that it's Easter Sunday. Most of you are dressed up. You're ready to go home and eat your Cadbury eggs, go to brunch, and do all the things that we do on Easter. And I certainly appreciate that. But I also know that there were some of you in this room today that you're uncertain about your eternity. And I'm going to tell you this. Cadbury Bunny can wait. Brunch can wait. Because I'm telling you, there's nothing more important that you could do today or for the rest of your life than make sure that you understand who God is, that He loves you, and He died on the cross for you, and you can put your faith and trust in Him today, and you can leave this building today knowing that you're right with God, forgiven of your sins, and know that heaven is your home. You can know that today. And all I want to do this morning, if that is your story, and you're like, hey man, I raised my hand, I'm not certain about this, I'm not here to embarrass you. I'm not here to make you feel uncomfortable, awkward in any way. But if you'd have the boldness to come and walk down the aisle and grab me by the hand, I would love to take a moment and have a Bible open and show you what it actually means to know and follow Jesus, how all those questions can be answered for you. In church, I want to say this. If you're a guest today, you may not know this, but this time that we're about to enter into is the most important time of our service. In fact, if I'm being honest with you, I work all week for the moments that we're about to have in just a moment. Because we come to the altar and we worship God and we preach because the Word of God has authority over our lives. And for many of you that are in here today that are followers of Jesus Christ, there is some doubt, there is some suffering. And instead of leaning into our relationship with Jesus Christ, we kind of lean out and we doubt and we get cynical and all the things that we do sometimes as Christians. And so instead of seeing the Savior in front of us, we're looking at the suffering around us. And I want to encourage you today, there is a living God who loves you and wants to walk with you in the darkest days, in the hardest seasons of your life. When you're most discouraged, you can lean in to who Jesus is and was. And He will bring fullness. He will bring significance and meaning, and He will define the suffering that you find yourself in and give you purpose in it. And if that's your story today, church, I want to invite you to come and say, God, help me in this moment to not focus on everything that is wrong in my life, how hard and how difficult that it is. But help me to look to you and worship you, because one day, I will be raised again and there will be a new life and it'll be better than anything I ever imagined. And I want to encourage you to come and worship with us today in that way if you would see fit. Derek, would you sing the first note this morning?